religious person? Are you a Christian? I want us to think about those just for a minute. As I prepared, as I prayed, as I read, as I studied, I think I've come to the realization that Christianity is more of a relationship than it is a religion. You can be religious about lots of things. There are lots of different religions. In the sense that a religion is a belief in and worship of God, yes. Christianity is a religion. So in that sense it is. But there's a way that Christianity stands out differently than a lot of other things people are religious about. Even other religions. Most religions are about following rules, proving oneself, or earning favor with the God or whatever that person may be worshiping. Religion is about what man can do for whoever man is choosing their God to be. Christianity, on the other hand, I believe the Christianity we talk about here, the Christianity we read in Scripture, is much more about what Christ has already done for us. So, as we continue, I want us to focus on the understanding that Christianity is about relationships. Relationship where the person recognizes who God is in their lives. Now, I don't want us to get too caught up because I'm saying that in one sense, religion isn't something that is about us. And it's not. It's what God's already done for us. But I need you to understand, if you haven't already accepted Jesus Christ in your Lord as your Lord and Savior, it is about you, not because of you making it about yourself, but because God makes it about you. God loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you so that you might not only have eternity with God, but that you might receive His Spirit here and be able to live a fulfilled life in the midst of this fallen world. So, it's important that we understand what relationships are all about. But you have to be careful. Because when we start talking about relationships, we can go too far the other extreme. Have you ever known anybody that you may have even been in a relationship with that they make the relationship all about themselves, about their needs, about their health, about their hopes, about their desires? It just becomes all about them. What kind of relationship does that really turn out to be between you and a person that's the approach they take to their relationship with you, making it all about them? It's just not healthy. It's not going to be able to move in a direction that's going to be productive. And the same can be true as we seek to have a relationship with God. Too often we make it about us. In a true Christian relationship, I believe it is not about us. So I want to talk really quickly about that, particularly in the context of Micah 6:8. First, let's look at walk humbly with your God. And I'm saying it's focusing on relationships. So this is the focus on the relationship with Christ. So I'll start each one by saying, don't make it about you. Every one of us has fallen short. None of us is good enough to do it on our own. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all of us has fallen short. None of us can do it on our own. Yet still, even though we know that, even though we can probably quote that verse, and we've told people about it, and we can act like that's the case, there are too many of us that call ourselves Christians that walk around acting like we've got it all figured out. Oh, we can throw the humble thing there every once in a while, but it's not genuine. We don't want anybody to see that we really have problems, that we really have struggles, or that we really depend on God. We give lip service, but when it really comes down to it, are we trusting God with the struggles in our lives, or are we trying to figure it out on our own? Because if we're trying to do it on our own, if we're trying to be in control, then we're making it about ourselves. And that's not what it means to walk humbly with your God. It's the first of three things today's scripture says. What does God require of us? And the first thing is to walk humbly with Him. Now in relationships, you've heard of the idea of playing hard to get. Don't play hard to get with God. It's not meant to be that way. God is already here, already showing Himself to you and me every single day. And God doesn't play games. God yearns to have a relationship with you. And not just on Sunday morning, not just when you open up your Bible for your quiet time. God desires to have an ongoing relationship with you, and He doesn't make it difficult. If we have eyes to see, God shows Himself to us on a regular basis several times every single day. So we are able to walk humbly with our God. And if we seek that out, you will find it. If you want to have conversations about that, there are people who would love to do that. If you're just not sure exactly where to go or how to make that happen, and I've said this before, it's my starting point for a lot of people. If you're not sure about praying, if you're not sure what it looks like to have God in your life, and first ask Jesus Christ into your life, have that conversation. But if you've done that, but you still don't understand that daily walk, have a prayer throughout the day simply saying, God, show yourself to me. God, show yourself to me. And if you mean that, God will show Himself to you regularly throughout the day. Walk humbly with your God. The second one, love mercy, focuses on relationships with other believers. Again, don't make it about you. You are a part of a body. All of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about that. We were not created for it to be about us in our Christian faith, that we are supposed to go and we're supposed to make sure we learn all our scriptures, we do everything right, we have our conversations with God. No! We're part of the body of Christ. And there are things we contribute to the body of Christ because of who we are. And there are other people who contribute because of who they are. And we're more who God desires us to be because we come together. And Scripture says that over and over and over. God intends you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. We need each other to fulfill God's will. Then I heard someone say this week, they were talking to someone and they said, you know, church just isn't my thing. And I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Never have believed that, never will. I agree with that. But I also know that the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, don't forsake coming together. Why does it say that? Because we're to be reminded again that we're part of the body of Christ, and it's not all about us. Thirdly, what does the Lord require of us? To act justly. Focus on a relationship with the broken world. I'm going to tell us again. The Bible tells us again, I believe. Don't make it about ourselves. And I preached a sermon a year or so ago about the comparison game and how Satan loves to have us do that. And this can be a place that can happen when it talks about how we're supposed to view other people and help them. And too often when it comes to that, we compare ourselves. There are either people that are better than us or there are people that are worse than us. And so we start playing the comparison game, and Satan loves it when we do that, because this is what happened. If we think we're better, if we're looking at that thinking that we're better than someone else, then what we do is we get off our checklist. Well, we helped somebody that needed it. We helped somebody, and so now we've done what we need to. And you know, one of the reasons, and we don't want to admit this, but we do that, and we wouldn't call it a self-righteous way, but it is, because in the back of our head, a lot of times we're thinking, they can't do nothing for me. I'll help them. I'll do what God wants me to, but they can't do anything for me. It's not about what they can do for us. It's about their relationship with God and how God wants them to be a part of the body of Christ. And so we're supposed to invest in a relationship where we grow and understand and build that relationship with them, and we encourage them, and yes, we learn from them and we grow from them, and they are going to be able to give something to us, not because of who they are, but because of who God is. That's faulty thinking, and it comes from Satan. The other side of that, though, is we look at people and say we're worse than they are. I have bigger problems than them. They're fine. They're living up in that mansion. They don't have a problem in the world. They've got everything together. Let somebody else take care of them. I got health problems. I got money problems. I got relationship problems. I ain't got time to take care of somebody else that's got their whole life together. Where do you see that in the Scripture? You see, I believe there are a lot of people who can. And sometimes they're acting like they have their life together. Sometimes all of that stuff is going well. But I promise you, if Christ isn't a part of their life, they're lost and they're missing something that they may or may not know what it is. And God calls on us at different times to be a part of ministering to them. I've told this not so long ago. There was a guy that was a CEO of either Coca-Cola or Pepsi. I forgot which one it was. And he came and spoke to a group of us when I was president of the Baptist Student Union in college. And he said, I had thousands of Christians who worked for me. And you know, it was years before anybody came and said anything to me about the love of Jesus Christ. And he said, I understand it. I wasn't an approachable guy. But if these Christians really cared and they loved and they thought they had something to offer, why didn't anybody share it with me? So don't play the comparison game. When we're reaching out to others, when we're loving others, when we're acting justly, we don't get to decide that because it's not about us, it's about God and where God's leading us to go. So if we walk humbly with God, if we're part of the body of Christ and are paying attention and encouraging and supporting each other, then we're able to act justly in the way God leads, not the way we choose. Well, this just really quickly, if you look in your bulletin, if you want to follow outline, I hope this won't get too confusing, but usually there's these three things God says God requires of us. It's to walk humbly with our God, to love mercy, which is relationship with believers, or to act justly, which is focus on relationships with the broken world. You know, a lot of times, both individuals and churches do a pretty good job with two out of three of these. Two out of three. But I bet if you pay attention, if you really look, there's probably one of these that will stand out to you that you struggle with more than others. And it's probably, if you think about your church, there may be one from your perspective you think your church struggles with more than others. So let's look at that really quickly. Out of balance. If people focus on God and they're focused on each other as far as the part of the body of believers, you know what that can quickly turn into? If you're neglecting others, it becomes a Christian social club. Because we're doing the God thing pretty well and we're hanging out with each other pretty well, but we aren't paying attention to the needs of the broken, dying, hurting world that God yearns for us to be witnessing to. But there's other ways to have it out of balance. But maybe we're focused on God and we recognize needs, and we're all about helping other people and doing buckets and going on mission trips and helping with the hurricane victims. But then we don't need the church people. We got this figured out on our own. We pay attention to God, and we do the good stuff. But you know what happens when we go that route? We get the Lone Ranger mentality. And Lone Ranger was a pretty good TV show back in my kids' days. But it's not the way to live a Christian life. Because eventually you're going to be lonely. God doesn't desire us to go it on our own. And then we wonder why we feel the way we do, why it gets so hard, why we don't understand. And you know, because of our humanness, we're going to have a limited perspective in where God's leading us. And when we're part of the body of Christ, there are people that are offering things we don't have. And we need that to see more clearly what God's doing, to see more clearly the picture in the world of God's kingdom around us. We need each other. And then the last one, sometimes we can be believers. We do the church thing pretty well, and we help others pretty well, but we think we got it taken care of. And so the walking humbly with God thing gets left out. And you know what happens when we do that? Individuals and churches become self-ordained do-gooders. We're good, we're friendly with each other, and we can go and do things, and people say that church is good at doing stuff, but when it really comes down to it, it can feel empty because we're wondering what difference we're really making, because we have to keep figuring out what to do on our own, and it's not a part of God's leading. And we can do a lot of good stuff that isn't what God calls us to do. And a lot of times that can lead to burnout. It can lead to people just getting to the point that they're saying it's worthless and they can't do it anymore. But if you're paying attention to what God wants you to, God's going to give you that energy and that opportunity to grow and feel energized, not from yourself, but through the Holy Spirit in what we're supposed to do. So what God wants us to do is to maintain a balance. And that's why he says in Micah 6:8 that we're to walk humbly with our God. We're to love mercy, and we're to act justly, and we're to do all three. So I challenge you today, which one is it that God wants you to spend more time working on right now? And you know what? You don't work on it and you get it done and set everything down, you're good to go. You constantly come back and look, because you're constantly growing and things around us are constantly changing. And so that's where we're supposed to understand what it is and why Christianity is about relationships. It's about our relationship with God. It's about our relationship with each other as the body of Christ. And it's about our relationship with a dying, hurting, broken world. And I want to close with the example that Josie read from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. I want to read it once again. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35 through 38. And on Labor Day weekend, we talked about the whole idea of workers being needed. And this goes back, and the end of this refers to the same thing, but I'm telling you, when we understand it about relationships, this makes a whole lot more sense and comes a lot easier in terms of what I believe God wants us to do. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest." If you take time to really look at that scripture, you see all three things in there. You see reference to what it means to walk humbly with our God, to what it means to be the body of Christ and care about others, and then to actually go out and do it. As we close, I'm going to ask that our musicians come up. And I want to challenge you not only in your individual walk today, but to understand that as your pastor, and in conversations I've had with the deacons in the past 2 months, what I just shared with you is actually what's been part of our vision for the entire 7 years I've been here. And there's lots of ways that we talk about this, but it comes back to the thing that if we really do what is said here, and this is what our church, this is what we as individuals, this is what we as believers focus on, that we're constantly paying attention to our walk with God, we're constantly paying attention to our relationship and what it means to be a part of the body of Christ with each other, and we're constantly seeking to love on a hurting, broken world. If we do that, and we do that in a way that's balanced, and pay attention to God, we will be living the life God calls us to live, and we will be being the church God calls us to be. So I challenge you today, and I mean it, that we all have a place, an area we can work on. I invite you to make a commitment today. Recognize where that is. Ask God to be a part of helping you understand what the next step is for you to take. He will show you. You won't have to guess. And if you're not sure, find somebody. This is part of the body of Christ thing. Find somebody that you know is a believer and invite them to be in that prayer time with you. It'll come. Because God doesn't play games. And he doesn't want you to play hard to get. He's not going to force it on you. Let's stand together and sing. We are called to be God's people.
Number 390.